getting people to be on the air and voice their opinion was something that anyone could do. It doesn't have to be done in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we do here. We give people the opportunity to share what's going on in their community, what's going on in their life, their challenges, their unanticipated challenges, and their successes.
This is Hourglass, the podcast for United Way of King County in Seattle. Coming up, a conversation with Tony B. Benton, the founder and station manager of Rainier Avenue Radio, a Black-owned 24-hour station in historic Columbia City Theater that amplifies the diverse narratives and voices of Southeast Seattle's communities. United Way of King County is proud to spotlight Tony B. and allow him the time to chat about the station's upcoming Rainier Avenue Earth Day event, held from April 22nd to 26th. I'm your host, Joe Burris. Thanks for tuning in. Now, if you've attended United Way of King County's community barbecue at Renton Memorial Stadium the past 2 years, you likely heard a commanding and powerful yet personable voice blaring over the public address system. That was none other than Tony Benton, the founder and general manager of Rainier Avenue Radio. For more than a dozen years, Rainier Avenue Radio has been the community station and digital arts hub for the people of South Seattle and South King County. Rainier Avenue Radio serves those communities with opportunities to learn about critical issues and news and to listen to compelling stories, sports reports, and quality entertainment. Benton, who is known by many as Tony B, has been a fixture on the local airwaves for decades, hosting community affairs shows like Cube 93's Street Beat or covering sports topics on KJR's Getting the Game. In addition to amplifying the voices of Seattle's Southeast communities, Benton helps educate people about issues critical to them. To that end, Rainier Avenue Radio is hosting an Earth Day event called Earth Deserves More Than a Day at Columbia City Theater from April 22nd to 26th. The event will feature films, panel discussions, lectures, and workshops, and is designed to help residents know more about their own communities that are often ground zero for climate injustice. Here's Tony B. to tell you more.
We have Earth Day.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when communities of color think of Earth Day, they think of it as save the trees.
Uh-huh.
And it's environmental justice. It's climate justice. And it rings a bell. That what I choose to do with Earth Day is make sure that everyone knows that the impact is on everyone.
Right.
So that's air quality.
Right.
That's water quality.
Right.
That's food justice. Uh-huh. That's transportation justice. Those are things that are happening to our neighborhood. And so I tell people, Black folks aren't just predisposed to have asthma. You know, it is what's happening in our community, where our communities are located, that cause, you know, this air quality. And so that's what environmental justice, it's a lot of different things. And so by bringing together a coalition of advocates and professionals and academicians, did I say that right? Academics?
Mm-hmm.
Smart folks. To share information on the role that they play in environmental justice. We're going to be talking with tribal folks as well. Got some folks who are, Hanford is still a problem,
mm-hmm.
what Hanford is doing to the water source over there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just taking a big, broad, holistic look at environmental justice issues and trying to bring them home, members of our community, to know that these things that are impacting you are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bigger picture out there, and try to create an umbrella in the state of Washington for these organizations to know more about each other and what they do. So it's a hybrid event in that you can come to the Columbia City Theater.
Columbia City Theater.
And see the panels and discussions and lectures live. But it's also going to be broadcast over Rainier Avenue Radio. And that's what enables us to be statewide. So we'll be broadcasting a panel from Spokane, a panel from Tri-Cities, a panel from Othello. And on the 22nd through the 26th, we'll be showing films here. And just trying to create awareness to all of the things that are under environmental justice and let people know that there's advocacy out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you live in an old home and lead poisoning, you know, it's connected to all of these things that are considered to be in environmental justice.
Want to know if you can talk a little bit about you and your career as it relates to the city of Seattle. I read a little bit about some of the sports radio stuff that you did early on. How did that transform into Radio Rainier Avenue Radio?
Ooh. Well, I did. I was in Minneapolis, and I was telling someone there that our radio station in Seattle, KFOX, was going in bankruptcy, and it was really poorly run at the time. And he said, "You should buy it." And I'm like, "Please buy a radio station." And he told me about the FCC and broadcasting in the interest of community.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I came back to Seattle, I went to the radio station and asked them if I could intern. I wouldn't charge them. And they told me no. So I went to the ownership group, Bingham Communications, and I wrote a proposal. And I presented them with the opportunity to make money. I said, "I will lease your station because you're going to lose it in 6 months. You're selling it to the new ownership group, which was State Media Broadcasting. And instead of going dark and getting fined, I'll lease the station and pay you." They said yes, if Day Media Broadcasting agreed to it. Went to Day Media Broadcasting, told them the same thing. And so for 6 months, the last 6 months of its existence, I ran KFOX.
Wow.
And after that, I had offers from a number of different radio stations. And I chose Cube 93. They were just changing the format to start playing Black music at the time. And I ended up taking a position that paid me for 10 hours a week. And I broadcast 1 hour a week on Sunday mornings from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock on a show called Street Beat.
Okay.
That led to a 20-year career in radio. I survived the 1996 Telecommunications Act, which changed everything. And it allowed for companies to own more than a couple of radio stations in a market. And so next thing that happened, you know, instead of having all these diverse radio stations all over the country, as everybody knows, we're pretty much owned by a few radio organizations.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that worked out because we had three radio stations, then we had six radio stations, and then I became the director of community affairs, ultimately for seven radio stations, and also did public service programming for each of those stations. And so for me, it was all just communication, whether it was a hip-hop station, a country station, or a sports station. And the other really popular show that I did was called Get in the Game, that aired on sports radio.
Great.
At 9:50 a.m.
Okay. Yeah. Where did the impetus come for Rainier Avenue Radio?
So, after 20 years of major market radio, they made me an offer I couldn't refuse.
Wow. Wow.
Which, you know, I had built this department for them, and so it was either change my job title, change everything, or they gave me a severance package, which was a great severance package, by the way. And so I spent a few years trying to figure out what else I wanted to be when I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that I wanted to operate a community radio station. In 2011, 2012, the FCC released a few signals in urban markets because major market radio was no longer doing that thing that the FCC required, which is broadcasting in the interest of the community. And so I started Rainier Avenue Radio. And in the library, Columbia City Library.
Oh, wow.
And I used to take my bag in there with my microphone, was a few years ago, so it was a little more complex than you have here. And I would go into a study room and I record people. And then I would put it into an automated system, and I started a radio station. Columbia City Library eventually found out about it and said, you don't have to pretend. If you want to do it,
you can do it. That's good.
Yeah, it was really cool. But that wasn't sustainable.
Right.
And so that's when I became vested in learning more about public-private partnerships. And we had all these new buildings going up, some buildings that were going to be torn down. And so I started talking to developers about leasing space in those buildings that were going to be torn down. So I was actually one of the last tenants in the Promenade 23 before they tore it down.
Where is that?
Promenade 23rd and Jackson.
Oh.
Yeah, iconic location.
Right.
There. Fulcan purchased that. And then, so, you know, I was moving around, you know, in buildings that were going to be torn down, lease space. And,
okay.
And then, had the opportunity to acquire this space. And this is now the home of Rainier Avenue Radio.
Rainier Avenue Radio is housed in Columbia City Theater, which was built in 1917 and is the oldest vaudeville theater in Washington State. The theater was once the center of Seattle's vibrant jazz scene. Among those who once played there are Ella Fitzgerald, Count Basie, Quincy Jones, and Ray Charles. Tony B. remembers growing up watching blaxploitation films there in the 1960s and 1970s.
It's been a big part of the community for generations. It's 108 years old. My plan was to honor the 108-year history of this building.
Oh.
So rather than it just being a bar on a stage for concerts, I wanted it to be a creative center, an arts center, a hub for the community, because the community is also gentrified,
yeah.
And, you know, a way for those community members who are still here to know we've got a place where we can be creative in a number of different ways. And for those who are moving in to know that there were people here before you, you know, that helped make this community the wonderful community that you see as diverse, you know, and incredible. And so that's really, and it's a home for Rainier Avenue Radio.
You say Rainier Avenue, but it's really kind of South Seattle's radio station.
It is. It is South Seattle's radio station. That's what we do. We celebrate, honor, and tell the truth about our South Seattle community. Most of the time when you hear about South Seattle on mainstream media, it's about a crime. And we tell the truth about crimes that do happen here. But there are also amazing people who live here, and there's some amazing things that happen here. And we share those stories as well.
Okay.
And that's why I mentioned to you, we have over 80 members of our 80 members of our community who host shows on this radio station. You know, and we don't charge them. We provide them with a producer and an engineer. And if they want it, we give them training. You know, the whole point of, you know, what one of the things that I got out of my 20-year career in radio was that our voices are not heard. And there was this mystique about being on the air. Well, it's not rocket science. You know what I mean? Getting people to be on the air and voice their opinion was something that anyone could do. It doesn't have to be done in a certain way. And so that's what we do here. We give people the opportunity to share what's going on in their community, what's going on in their life, their challenges, their unanticipated challenges, and their successes. And the community has responded to that.
About how many listeners do you have?
About 50,000 a month. Which, you know, for a major station, that's not very much. But for us, it's our community. And that includes folks in other communities and surrounding communities because of the diversity that we have here. So we broadcast in Fijian. We broadcast in Spanish. We broadcast in Tagalog. We broadcast in Vietnamese. We broadcast in Mandarin Chinese and a couple of other languages. A couple of African dialects as well, because that's who lives in our community.
That service to community is Tony B's passion. And Rainier Avenue Radio now uses the internet to serve a worldwide audience. Its URL is rainieravenueradio.world.
What commercial radio would call a train wreck, you know, for us, it's just a reflection of our community.
Tony B., thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
United Way of King County partners with local organizations to help address food insecurity. Those partners include the Auburn Food Bank, a volunteer-directed organization that provides food, referrals, and emergency assistance to those in need. Auburn Food Bank provides food bank services on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. It provides a community supper on Monday evenings at First United Methodist Church in Auburn, and it does shut-in deliveries on the second Saturday of each month by application only. For more information, log on to theauburnfoodbank.org/food. And be sure to join our virtual event, Conversations for Change, Housing Stability, on May 29th at 11:45 a.m. We will delve into King County's housing ecosystem and share more about how we're coming together to help people overcome barriers to access and retain housing. For more information, log on to uwkc.org/events. At United Way of King County, we are working side by side with communities to build an equitable future for everyone. Hourglass United Way is a podcast that highlights how we and our partners spend time making a difference in our communities. Our work is made possible by the generous donations from people like you. Please send comments and suggestions about our podcast to hourglassunitedway@gmail.com. To learn more about our work or to support United Way, log on to uwkc.org. I'm your host, Joe Burris. Thanks for listening. Until next time.